Moms, we're coming to you from your favorite neighborhood, MILF Estates, where we are obsessed with trying to find out if Kate Middleton is actually alive or what's actually going on with her.
Are we allowed to say that?
Why not? I mean, we can say whatever we want. Yeah. This is our show. All right, so you can follow us on irrationalmoms.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a question. Also, you can find us on Spotify and Apple. So come on over and listen to us. All right, so we have a lot to talk about today besides Kate Middleton, because I know Annabelle's like kind of obsessed with that.
Never cared about the Royals a day in my life until last week when I was like, wait a minute, this is juicy. I want to know where she is.
She's recovering.
Dude, I ain't no way there's anything normal going on right now. There's no way. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. There is something going on.
It's, you know, I will have to tell you, I had to get on Reddit last night and look, be like, what are the conspiracies that are like actually going around and what are they talking about?
The funniest one is they said she got a BBL and she's recovering.
Oh my gosh.
It's a joke. That's the joke conspiracy. But they're like,
if Matt doesn't know, our producer doesn't know what a BBL is. Oh,
it's a Brazilian butt lift. It's the girls that get the big butt implants.
Booty.
They're like, if Kate shows up dragging a wagon at Easter services, we're going to like lose it.
Dragging a wagon.
Somebody else said that. That was not, I'm not trying to attribute it to myself, but I don't
know. You know, I just think it's because like it's a royal family and it's like the Catholic Church. It's like they just say nothing.
Something weird going on. Something is not right. No, dude.
I mean, I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, she just doesn't want to be. What is going on? Like, she had, like, she couldn't have a tummy tuck because she's already, like, super thin. So what is she recovering from? Well, it's, like, abdominal surgery.
Some people suggested, like, a hysterectomy, which actually seemed plausible in the beginning. But that doesn't put you out of, like, yeah, it took me recovery from that. But I could be on a camera a week later and be fine. I wasn't going to be, like, lifting my kids or anything. But so, like, nothing makes sense except someone that they said maybe she has, like, there was some sort of basis, but, like, Crohn's or one of those things where she had to get part of her bowel or colon removed. And so she had, like, a colostomy bag. Or sometimes you have to have that temporarily while they do some surgery. So if that was the case, it would make sense she didn't want to be seen. However, she could still be, like, sitting in bed, surrounded by her kids, like, reading the well wishes of her fans. Like, there's no way you have to be off camera unless you had, like, massive reconstructive plastic surgery to your face, which would happen if her husband beat her, for example. Like, there's just no plausible explanation for the disappearance that way, is all I'm saying. There's none. Nobody disappears like that when you're paid by taxpayer money.
Well, I know. I mean, other princesses have, right? Because
they decided to leave the royal life. Yeah. Well, so maybe she did a runner and she wants to take her kids or something.
Or maybe she's just like, she's tired of him cheating on her, right? Because that's probably happening a little time too. Because
the
royal family doesn't cheat on each other.
I think that most people believe the actual, what probably is, like, there's some kind of divorce going on. Either he wants to divorce her or she wants to divorce him, or like Charles is sick. And so Will's going to have to be the king sooner than expected. And there's some kind of weird stuff going on like that, because, you know, she can't take her kids if she leaves. I don't think, like, she has to live there if she wants to be with her kids. They're like, I don't know how you call it, but it's like not the property of the royal family, but I think like their guardian is Charles or something.
I think it's very much like with, Charles and Diana, right? When she ended up like divorcing him.
She lived in a cottage on the palace grounds and she could have lived there forever. Sad. Yeah. And they had already moved Kate out and the kids out to a cottage on the grounds out of the palace. So some people speculated back then that they were splitting, and that was, again, I knew nothing of this until last week.
This is a whole side story, but I saw pictures of Harry next to Princess Diana's, like, I don't know if it's a trainer or what he was to her, but they look, I mean, like,
it was her bodyguard.
Harry looks nothing like Prince Charles. Like Charles.
Right.
So
I don't know. Like Will either.
I don't blame her because she was gorgeous, and freaking look at what's his name? Like,
right. He was hideous and a philanderer.
He's always loved Camille. Right? Is it Camilla? Camilla.
Don't
he's always been in love with
marry
her.
Marry a gorgeous, perfect woman then if you want to go for a second best. I don't know.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's just, you same. Know, I mean, the heart wants
I guess
heart
love
wants,
is love.
So come on, right? Yes, exactly. And so, I mean, he's with the love of his life now. like years later, but
right,
whatever. Okay,
and then some people say she's killing, she's gonna kill him off to be queen. There's so many.
Oh,
great rumors.
God,
oh my god. Okay, stay right. tuned for more okay. conspiracy theory from the royal yep. family coming to you from you know, irrational moms. All right, so let's get on to like what we need to talk about today.
Snacks.
Oh, we do have snacks. We do have a fan question about trust, which I think this is going to be a little bit interesting. Also, your irrational mom topic, I think we've kind of touched on this before, but it kind of sparked like some, I don't know, I was just kind of irritated this weekend because I have to go to this auction and Mr. Poindexter is like, do you really need another dress? And I'm like, yes, I do. So we can talk about that. And then also for sports, I think this is like so exciting because
free agency today or tampering starts today.
It starts on the 13th, which is Wednesday.
Starts today.
Okay. And so we have all these trades happening in the last couple days and contracts that are getting like renewed or like blown up, like 5 years, $100 million contracts. So we want to talk about all of that. Oh, and we also had a live on Friday night. So if you missed it, go back and watch it because it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. So anyways, we can talk about that later. But Tris, let's talk about your wonderful snacks.
Yeah. And you know what? So I actually made my snack from scratch today, this morning after the gym. Right. I know it's one of the few things that I make from scratch and I haven't made them in a while. My plan was, since it's about to be Pi Day, or is that National Pi Day? I was going to make a pie I'm not going to lie. I was probably just going to get a pie. I was going to buy a pie. Anyways, so I went through my recipes and I was like, oh, I haven't made these in forever. And they do have pie in the name. It's not exactly the same. But these are Mississippi mud pie cookies. Here, I'm going to open them because they look so
good.
You
made those from scratch?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I'm so impressed.
Like, my big mixer. Like, I have two of those freaking mixers. I don't know why.
Very
but
nice.
Yeah, I made it from scratch. And these are actually some of my boyfriend's favorite cookies. So
is it marshmallows in it?
Yeah, there's – well, just on top. So, like, I took them out when they were about to be done, put some on top, and then put it back in there.
And the chocolate on top?
A little bit of chocolate on top. I haven't taste tested it, but
we'll see. All right, well, let's see. Live taste test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That –
Waiting for the bouncing.
Yeah.
she was.
That's when you know. She was bouncing like in anticipation of taking a bite.
these are legit. These are so good. I'll have to send you guys the recipe because that was easy. I mean, I got home from the gym at like 10 or I don't know, I guess 9:45, made those and then showered and got ready.
So is it just like a chocolate cookie and then you put marshmallows on top with more chocolate on top?
Basically, yeah.
Is there nuts inside?
The recipe calls for nuts, but no, that's just absurd. I'm not adding any type of nuts to my cookies. I'm sorry. Okay. No.
I don't normally like nuts.
Who are you helping?
In my cookies either. I mean, if it's meant to be a nut cookie, yes, but not something like that. I don't want nuts in my chocolate chip cookies.
If it was like white chocolate macadamia nut or something, makes sense, but not in a regular...
So I have a question, like, is it, what kind of chocolate do you use?
So I use semi-sweet chocolate chip, like I melted those and I put it into the batter that I was making or the dough. And that's what made them look chocolatey or whatever. And then I use, what is it? Just like actual, milk chocolate. I was like, God, what is the name? Milk chocolate chips. And then I melted some milk chocolate to put on top.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. Probably would be good Nutella on top.
Dude, my Nutella chocolate chip cookies that's like probably the favorite one that I get requested to make the most from like all the brats because I take cookies most times to all of our game days and stuff for the kids after.
Yeah.
You only get the cookies if you win, though, because I don't believe in participation trophies. So if you win your games, you get cookies at the end. If you don't, they go in the trash.
You do all that and then you throw them away.
I don't really throw them away, but like last year, our coach basically, so the only time I let them have the treats, but they were winning all the time, but the only time they got them when they lost, they got second place in all of Junior Olympics. so we still gave them the cookies, even though they lost the final game. I mean, because you got a silver medal, so you can still have cookies. I asked the coach, I'm like, is it okay? He's like, yeah, we'll give them today.
So you do all that baking and then you throw your cookies away.
No, I just give them to somebody else.
You're like, here, look at the cookies I made you. Now I'm going to give them to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you guys are all losers.
Yeah. I mean, we're spending a lot of money on these sports. If you're not a winner, I'm not buying you a trophy.
Losers don't get cookies.
It's
not
a trophy. It's just a snack.
That's your trophy. It's a treat. It's not a snack. I'll give them food no matter what. Like, I don't starve them. I'm just not giving treats as a reward if they're losing. So they just got to win.
Okay. I don't mean, I would, okay. I don't, whatever.
These are so good.
They look delicious.
They do look really good.
Surprise myself every time. I forgot.
I'm like, yeah, that's, I'm really impressed with that. I really like it.
From scratch. I mean, yeah, one of the few things.
Yeah. All right. So our question this week, Annabelle, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I just had an email.
You looked very concerned.
Email alert pop up that I had to read, but it's fine.
Yeah. From the school, making sure that everyone's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Everyone's fine.
All right. Oh, all right. So the question of the week comes from a fan. He wants to know, how long does it take for you to actually trust somebody? And is it different for different types of people, like your friends versus like if you're dating somebody versus a coworker? And so I don't know who wants to start.
Go ahead. I don't know. I was trying to think about this. Like, I don't really know because I feel like I'm overly trusting, but I can be suspicious of people. I go off a vibe. So like if I get good vibes from you, like everything I do is based on like how I'm feeling about it. So if I get like very suspicious feeling about you, I will, you know, walk lightly or tread lightly or what, I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's a time frame, like a time limit.
Yeah.
I trusted you guys right away, but like we talked all the time and it was like just very chill and everybody got along and like,
right. And then over time you figure out like, okay, can I really trust them? It's like you trust people. And I feel like you trust people in waves. Like you start out just on vibes, kind of see how you feel. And then over time, you know, somebody, then maybe you trust them a little more. And it really, to me, it just varies widely. I mean, I don't like meeting new people. I almost never meet new people. So I don't really have to worry about it. Most of my friends that I've had for a really long time. So I trust them. You know, so it just really depends. New people, you got to be pretty great for me to like, oh, okay, maybe I'll give you a chance.
Like what level of trust? Are we telling secrets? I don't know, because in a relationship is going to be different.
Right. Well,
I
think that's the thing. It depends.
You have some base level of kind of like, okay, you're asking questions, you find out who this person is, but you know.
Right. Well, I agree with you guys. I think when you meet somebody for the first time, you get a certain like energy from them, right? Or vibe, whatever you want to call it. And you can tell right away, like, oh, I'm actually going to like click with this person or I'm not. And then if I do really like the person, we get along, it's like, I need to get to know them as a person and as an individual to see, like, are you just like, is this a fake, persona that you have going on because you want everyone to like you or what? And then once you kind of get, you start asking some questions and if you listen to people, they will tell you amazing things.
They will. Oh my gosh.
You ask the right questions. Yeah. I'm like, and then you can get to know somebody and then you can be like, all right, maybe I can trust you.
Well, and I think that's really important. It's like when someone tells you who they are, you have to listen. So you can learn a lot just by observing people's interactions with other people. Like there was a mom that I met when I first moved to Sacramento. I can't remember if I met you or her first, but
she seemed
like such an amazing friend. She would do things like, it was almost like love bombing, but in a like a...
Yeah.
Not a romantic,
like a friend way.
But she would like bring you coffee at your house. And you just had a baby, like all these nice things. She'd be like, oh my God, this girl's amazing. But then you start to see like, ooh, she was really crappy to that person. Or like, oh, that was weird. And it wasn't to me that she did it yet, but you start to learn eventually
they're going to do it to you.
And so then of course my take on her was completely correct when I got divorced and I overheard her talking about me at a party. And she said, well, my husband would never do that to me. And I was like, well, bitch, I hope your husband would never do that to you, but also F you, because what kind of thing is that to say? So, and then I was like, well, peace out. We're done. Because when I'm done with somebody, I'm done. Like, there's no coming back. Right. So
that's like pretty very
everyone fell out with her after that, because then it started falling. You know, you can only maintain a facade when you're a terrible person for so long. Right.
Right. Everybody's going to start seeing it. That's like, I feel like if that friend is constantly talking trash about other people in the group or like a bunch of other people, then you yep. could kind of expect that they're likely doing it exactly. to you. Like, you guys in our like estates group, I've never heard anybody saying anything bad about the other. There's one like problem child right. that was in the group, and it wasn't necessarily talking trash. It was just like discussing the situation. But like, you guys have right. never been like that. So that also helps me trust.
Well, we also, we're like pro women and good friends. We're not mean women who like want to bring down other women. Like, I want all yeah. women to be successful, and we're not competing ever. We're like, can just be nice to each other. Now, if someone is going to be a problem though, we might talk about you after you've done a whole bunch of terrible things to everyone. If you do a bunch of bad things, though, you expect people are going to talk about you. That's going to happen. You know?
Yeah, like, that's true.
No, and I have to agree with you guys in the sense of, I feel like if a woman, and this is for you all women and men, if you hear a woman just sit there and bash at all another woman, she's going to be, she'll turn it around. She's going to talk yep. about you at some point, because exactly. that's just how it is. I mean, and then going back to like the person that you guys are referencing. Yeah, I don't think we never really said anything bad about her. Only thing we talked about was like, basically it was the truth of, hey, these are things that are going on. And we actually tried to help this person. We were always nice and kind. Right. And we were, even at the end, we were nice and kind. It's just mm-hmm. at some point you have to realize I can no longer trust you. And you're just no longer like the person who, I mean, that person was, had many different I think personas
a lot of issues yeah.
and yeah. always wanted everyone to see her as a certain way, although we could all right. see what's behind her, and we accepted that for a long time. I right. just think it got to a point where we it was more damaging for everyone else around us, like right. as a whole right. in a relationship. And I think there were some things that were just that were said and done that I don't think you can ever go back on.
I agree with that. And I think also sometimes the kind thing to do is to completely detach yourself from mm-hmm. someone and give them nothing else. And maybe they don't get yeah. explanations they want for the behavior. But I feel like in this case, and several other times in my life, it's kinder of me to never give them an explanation, because A, I know they're not going to believe it, because, you know, they don't have any self-awareness and they cannot fathom that they're not the victim. But to me, is like, I could totally eviscerate her with words. Like, I could make her feel worse about herself than she's ever felt, if just by telling the truth. So, and I don't want to do that. So to me, it's kinder if I say nothing. Yes, she doesn't understand why we're not friends anymore. It's better this way. Trust me. Like, it's better.
Yeah.
And that's the kind thing, is to do nothing. And it sucks for them. But I mean, if you're a bad person in the world and you enjoy making people miserable and causing drama and harming them, well, that's just how your life's going to go, unfortunately.
Well, I also think that there's a lot of, with this particular person, there was a lot of lies that were told too, right? That we all could yes. see through.
Yeah.
And that was the part where I'm like, no, I can't trust you. I mean, and I knew yeah. it for a long time, but I'm like, you're always going overboard, and you're always, you know, exaggerating the truth. And I hear something else from somebody else. And then now it's, are you telling me two different stories? And I'm like,
right.
I'm an adult. You can just tell me the truth. I mean, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Right. I'm a big girl, you know? And the thing is that I feel like all of us, I mean, we're all pretty like truthful and kind. And then there's times where we do get upset, but it's like, we're very honest about it. Like, hey, this hurt my feelings. Right. Like, and you know, we don't let it get out of control.
Exactly. If there was a time, this is a good example, where we were at Poindexter's house, a bunch of people were having a little party and
keep talking. I'm gonna okay. change the camera, hold on.
And I got upset at Mrs. Poindexter for something that was kind of silly. It was really a miscommunication, misunderstanding, but I got my feelings hurt. I was feeling sensitive that day, and so I said, you know what? I'm going upstairs. I'm not gonna do this. It wasn't a huge deal in the moment. I was upset, we had a little argument, but it's no big deal. And we're not really fazed if we have an argument, because we're friends and we're just going to work it out 10 minutes later. But so I go upstairs, and this girl was there, and she followed me upstairs. And I think she's going to be like, oh, are you okay? But instead, the first thing she says is, oh, I know what Poindexter just did to you, and starts kind of saying some mean things. And I'm like, hold up, what? Like, I was so confused, because here I am upset. but not for the reasons she's saying. And I'm like, very quickly, I get over being upset and I think this is messed up. Like, we're literally in Poindexter's home and you've come to me to talk bad about her in her house. And that was the moment. And we didn't stop being friends with her for a while after that. But that was the moment when I was like, I can never trust you. Because if you'll do that to her over absolutely nothing, you'll do it to any of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I also feel like we're very trusting because of everything that's happened. And I've always been, I shouldn't say that. I'm very open, right? I mean, we're very open in the sense of like what you see is what you get. Trusting. Yeah. Okay. In the trusting part of it, I think it all depends, right? It's going to all depend on the person. So long and short of it is that. So speaking of trust, Mr. Poindexter thinks that I have too many like dresses. So get this. I have to go. I didn't even want to do this, but I got kind of talked into it from my neighbors. One of the schools that one of my kids is at is having an auction, and the auction is, there's always a theme, and the theme this year is like Miami 80s theme, which I'm like, oh geez, really? I'm like, where am I going to get an 80s dress? So I like went to Macy's. I've been looking all through the mall. I mean, 80s clothes are just not in, right? And it's so hard to find it. So I'm like, okay, I got to get another dress. And he's just like, well, you have dresses. And I'm like, but it's a theme. And he's like, you can just buy any, he's like, just take a dress out of the closet and wear it. You have pink, hot pink dresses. And I'm like, it's not the same thing. I'm like, I'm taking pictures in all those dresses. I can't I need a new outfit. And he's just like, I don't understand how women are. Like, why do you need a new dress? I'm like, I just need a new dress.
Well, and here's the other thing. For us, if we're making content, that's a whole different ballgame than just like a woman thinks she doesn't have any clothes. That's like, I will buy new clothes sometimes, not expensive stuff, but stuff for pictures that I'm like, I don't need anything else. But, you need to have different looks. You can't just wear the same thing over and over again. So if you're getting, if you have an event plus you're going to shoot pictures in the dress, absolutely get the dress.
Well, and then also I feel like... Right, Tris? I also feel like I have to go to a conference too, like in a couple, like next month, and I need a new outfit for that. He's gonna be like, "What the heck?" I'm like, "But we have a lot of meetings," and I'm like, "I need a new like work outfit."
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And I'm probably, I could be the worst, but I'm like a combination of both your answers, because I do get new dresses all the time, but they're usually not super expensive. This is a new dress. This was supposed to be a Saturday date night dress. If you go Fashion Nova, it's like super inexpensive, but that actually, by the way, is what you should do for your 80s stuff. Cause Fashion Nova, you can find some stuff that's very 80-ish and it's like overnight.
Anytime I need theme stuff or anything like that, I go to Fashion Nova. Generally, I don't love like the fast fashion thing. I know it's wasteful, whatever, but again, I'm not spending tons of money on outfits for pictures all the time. And,
Oh, I went to Revolve and I'll send you a picture of it. And it...
Ooh, I love that place.
See, you're ridiculous. I would also a little bit be like Mr. Poindexter. I'd be like, okay, you want a new dress for a theme dinner? Fine, but you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars when you can spend maybe
$80. Hundreds of dollars?
Revolve is not cheap clothing, usually.
Well, some of their stuff, I mean, you can get a dress on Revolve for like $60 or $70.
Send you guys a picture. Really? It's super, Well, this wasn't that, but I mean, it's not super
expensive. I know what you're getting. It's not $60. Don't even front.
See,
but
when
I think
you guys
would like it. It's hot pink. It has
I would definitely love that.
Shoulder pads and little, it's open like right here and it has a high cut and
it sounds like a Tris dress. I like
it. It is a Tris dress. See, I had to get two different sizes though, because you never know, right? Like what's gonna
it's easy to return to them too, so you definitely could get two dresses. But like when I first started dating my boyfriend years ago and I was driving, I'll call it long distance because it was an hour and a half away, and he loves to see me in dresses, so I would want to wear something different like every time. So every week I was trying to wear a different dress to go see him, but I don't know. I think
I like that. I would do the same thing too. If I had somebody that was like long distance, I'd find a reason to dress up, right? Like, wear
dress
something cute and sexy.
Just showing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I just wear slippers and, you know. Leggings. I don't know.
So yeah, I got on pajama pants with my shirt right now. So,
All right. So, I guess I guess it's like, we can't really settle this debate. I mean, we're women. I want new clothes. I don't want to wear something I've had for like 2 years.
Well, and that's also not- there's a lot of men. I mean, Mr. Poindexter is kind of like this. My ex-husband would never buy new clothes. I remember one time he showed up. We'd been together years at this point, and he shows up at home with his new gray shorts. And I was like, oh, those are nice. Where'd you get them? Because he's never bought a new pair of shorts in the whole time I'd met him. And this
he
was
found
them like,
in the garbage?
No, not almost. It was like 7 years in, I think. And I'd never seen him with anything new that I didn't buy. And I was like, that's cool. Where'd you get them? He's like, Goodwill, $5. I'm like, what are you even doing at Goodwill? He's like, looking for shorts. Oh, I'm like, all right, buddy. So that's, I mean, Mr. Poindexter is better than that, but he definitely doesn't. He has his uniform that he likes to wear.
He doesn't see a need for new clothes, right? Only no. new Jordans.
Which I get him for his Annabelle. Birthday.
Thank you. Yes.
I get him for his birthday every year, so.
Yes. Speaking of which, your guys' birthdays are coming up.
I know. I've already been looking at what matching shoes to get myself and Mr. Poindexter for our birthdays. Aww. We're birthday twins, so we celebrate together usually.
Which reminds me, Tris, did you get our present that we sent you?
I did. I haven't got to try it yet because there was, you know, as I told you guys, some chaos this weekend with my baby girl. But I have it all set up. Like, I ran through the little... It's like a little cleaning process that it goes through. What is it? A Nespresso. Yeah. You guys got me a Nespresso with all kind of different like flavors to try. And I love there's a little like milk frother.
Dude, the milk frother is so amazing.
Okay. I am definitely
using that. One button you
that.
Push. You don't have to like actually do anything yourself. You just pour it in and push a button and it froths it. That's
And you can like make it hot or cold, which I actually like it cold because then it like it layers on top and it. I don't know, something interesting about when you drink it and you get a little bit of the cold froth and then the hot coffee. So
absolutely. I'm if you want, if you're having an iced coffee too, it's good because if you want the froth.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it out. I just, I have not. It's all set up. I have a little coffee
bar.
Like, so a little coffee bar kind of thing. So like a Keurig and then the Nespresso. So
that's going to be so cute.
I can't wait. Send us pictures when you do it. Yay. All right. So switching topics over to sports. Okay. So there's a few things. First, we need to talk about this whole Chiefs-Dolphins game where people are like complaining now. Yeah. Because they're going to have to get like amputated or whatever because they got frostbite because they couldn't figure out that it's cold outside. That it was cold outside, and when it's cold outside, you should dress appropriately or just don't go outside.
So here's my question. So the first article I saw, which I sent to y'all, and there's been a bunch since, it said 70% of the people with these frostbite injuries needed to have amputations. But I didn't see anywhere what is the actual number. Like, is it 70% of five
or
people
two?
Or 70% of 50 people? Like, I want to know how many actual people.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing, right? Like when it comes to statistics, you never know because they can be like 70%. Sounds like a big number percentage wise, but
to me, it's weird that they use that because it's kind of a weird percentage. It's like, like, I don't know. I want to see what actual, does anybody know what the numbers of actual people are? And then 30% are like going in hyperbaric chambers and stuff, which I'm guessing the other ones are doing that as well because those are so amazing for like wound healing and stuff, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we should probably maybe Google that and find out.
Because that actually... sort of would be a big difference if there's like five people getting amputations or there's 50 people getting amputations. Like,
they always do that to make it look like it's worse than it actually
Right. That's
is,
what
right?
I wondered. Like, how serious is this? It sounds really, I mean, it's still serious, but also like the guy that took his gloves off to set up a metal tent in the parking lot. Like, how does anybody that's an adult not know you don't put your bare body parts on metal in freezing weather? Like, how do we, I mean, sorry.
That's what I don't think.
Well,
I don't think the NFL should be.
Stupid should hurt.
Exactly. Like the NFL, I don't, as much as I think the NFL is hot garbage for the most part, but I think.
Speaking of conspiracy
theories. From my boys, hot garbage. Anyways, so regardless, but I don't think that they should be like held accountable for that because you're a grown adult. It's cold AF outside. Either come prepared or just don't go.
And there was lots of warnings. So they talk in the media everywhere about where the warming stations were and all this other stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it was adequate or not, but I also know I just wouldn't go because that would be miserable. So, I mean,
And then also there was no, like, if you look at, and we've kind of talked about this, if you look at the Bills playoff game versus the Chiefs playoff game, the Bills had like full on blizzard. Like they're basically shut down like
multiple
the town.
Times a year. Yes. They have blizzards during football season and people aren't getting amputations. So what's the deal? Like,
people like to complain and they want a free handout. It's a good, easy, like, hey, this happened to me. The NFL should pay. And because they should have had a warning out, because it's like,
but they did have a warning.
There's no personal responsibility. It's like, you're an adult. Right. Do I need to tell you like basically how to like dress to go outside? And if you don't, if you can't figure that out and you're in Kansas City, Missouri.
You live in Missouri. It's not like you're in some place that's normally warm. And
it's
you're
pretty
like
cold
not,
there.
I feel like Kansas City is the same type of people as Buffalo, like hardworking, like middle-class people who aren't like idiots or clueless about the world. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they're not spoiled people that live on the coast or some kind of, I'm trying to think of narratives people might say to describe people. So I feel like these people should be aware.
My question is, I like to know like, okay, how many people, because you know, when you throw out like a percentage, you make it worse than it actually is.
Right.
So how many people are actually like affected by this? And are they actually from that area or were they from Miami and they like, they weren't prepared?
Didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't know.
But
that's a good point.
Still,
too.
If you, it, that'd be like, you know, somebody from like Alaska going down to like Miami having a heat stroke and being like at a game being like, well, I'm going to sue the Dolphins because it was too hot or something. And
right.
It's like, well, come on, dude, you're like in Miami. It's warm. It's humid. Sorry that you're not accustomed to that.
Right, but we know about humidity and heat strokes and stuff because we're adults in the world. We know about it. I mean,
yes.
I don't like being cold, and I would have stayed home.
Yeah, I would have stayed home. And I love sports. I would do almost anything to go to games like that. But if it was that cold, absolutely not. Because first of all, my arthritic hands are going to be like frozen claws and hurt so bad it would take them days to recover. Even if I had like. What are those things? The heating things you put in there? Those little hand warmers? Yeah.
A little heating pads. Yeah.
Well, absolutely not.
How is that different than, I mean, okay, it was like, you know, sub-zero temperatures, I guess, with the wind chill and everything, or the wind. But going to the Buffalo game, people were standing in snow.
Right.
Like they were having to wade through snow to get to their seats, right?
Right.
So I'm like, and that's, you know, also causes like, hypothermia and all sorts of
right. They're standing inside snow banks in their seats, stomping snow down and stuff. Like I don't under. I mean,
it tells
Bills
me that
mafia
the,
just
the, yeah. They're a lot.
They're
just
they're hardcore
they're
man.
Yeah,
they came in their coveralls and stuff though. They had to like snow. What is it called? Snowshoeing? Is that when you like just sort of glide across the snow with those things on to get somewhere in the snow? That's how they had to get to the stadium.
And they stayed warm because they were jumping on flaming tables.
Maybe that's why they light tables on fire, like for some extra warmth. I don't know.
Exactly. Did you see the reel with Travis and Jason? And Jason jumps on it on a table.
Yeah, he's like in fire gear. Oh my God. He'd made a bet that he had to jump on a flaming table if I think it was about their like one of their contests. So he had to jump on the flaming table, but he like consulted the fire department and he put on. Like,
oh, they were there. They were there.
Yeah. He like put on protective gear. Cause he's like, what? I mean, I wasn't, he's like, if I'm hammered, sure. But I was like sober. I'm not trying to like break a hip or whatever, you know?
Right. He gets injured like when he's off and he's actually after he retires.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you were fine. And so you jumped on that table, dummy.
All right. So what about all these trades? What do you guys think about all this?
My favorite one, I think so far, well, it's not a trade, but is Baker Mayfield getting his contract.
Yes, I'm so excited for that.
I used to not like him, but I didn't have a reason. But then he came to the Rams like in clutch. He like flew on the airplane and learned a couple plays and won that game against the Raiders. And I'm like, you know what? Respect to that guy, because he is like out here with a good attitude, working his butt off, like has no, I mean, his career took a bad turn. And then look at himself. He, like, he did good with the Rams. He got a one-year deal, and then he did good. And now he's, like, and he's about to have a baby. Like, I don't know. I just like it. It's, like.
I didn't know he was going to have a baby. But I've always liked him when he was with the Browns. I mean, I always thought he was, like, he was pretty good. And I think he just, he needed to find the right team. I think a lot of this, we've talked about this before, right? You put a quarterback. Yeah. They need to find, like, the right coach and the right team.
Yep.
And
I think it's like, it's nice for him because I think he earned it. Like he worked his ass off and he earned it. And yeah, his wife's like, I think she's like 37 weeks pregnant or something. Like she's about to have a baby.
She
so,
is.
You know, now they're going to have a baby at $100 million. So good for them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited that the chief signed Chris Jones for like 5 years.
And for $1 billion. Like, he wasn't taking no team friendly deal.
Right. No.
I wouldn't either, though. Chris Jones is like one of the MVPs, if in my opinion.
I think so. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think him and a couple other players like carried that whole team, like,
yeah,
mainly in the regular season. So.
He's like y'all's Aaron Donald, basically, like, mm-hmm. comparatively for the Rams. He's like, he's it. And he's a good leader and all that. So,
yeah, he's
he's somebody I would want on my team.
Yeah. Well, now I have him on my team, so you can't have him.
I know. I mean, I knew he wouldn't come to my team. We can only have one super highly paid defensive player, and ours is Aaron Donald. So we're not getting a Chris Jones.
Okay, but what do you think about Mac Jones going over to the Jaguars?
That's just weird to me. I find it kind of hilarious. Like, weren't him and Trevor Lawrence in the same draft class? Or am I misremembering that? Matt, do you remember? Was Mac Jones in the same draft class as Trevor Lawrence? I feel like he was. And Trevor was first, and Mac was like pick 15 or something. I could be completely making that up, though, honestly. But I think if that's true, it's wild that you would go be the backup quarterback for a guy that was drafted ahead of you.
Right.
3 years later.
That's weird.
It's very interesting. But I'm glad the Patriots got rid of him.
And then Jaguars need a good backup quarterback.
Yeah, because when Trevor got hurt a couple times, they've been terrible. I mean, I don't have any hate for Mac Jones, but he was nothing good was going to happen for him staying in New England. Who was Trevor? Right, but it was the same year, right? And Mac was like 15 same or 16?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, look at me remembering something for once. And what other one I'm interested to see is what happens with Justin Fields. Like, I'm super interested to see what's going to happen with him, if the Bears are going to keep him, or I think they're not. My son is really wants the Rams to get him as their backup, but I don't know. I don't know if that's within the realm of possibility at all.
Well, I mean, everything's going to be starting to shake out here in the next couple of days. I mean, it's starting to right now, but
I'm so glad because I'm so bored because there's no real baseball yet. And I'm like, I need something. Like, I don't want to be involved in this Kate Middleton thing at all. I'm just like bored. Like, there's no sports that I love happening, and spring training just doesn't do it for me. So I'm like, all right, I guess it's the Royals. I'm going to become an expert.
Okay. Yes, right? Okay, but then also we haven't talked about Russell.
He's
going to the Steelers. Hey, that was announced this morning.
I texted Liz Marie about it, and she didn't even reply. So maybe she's really upset. I don't know.
Why upset? I
don't know.
Russell
some people
Wilson.
Hate. Some people don't like him, and that
he seems like just a good dude. He's not out there doing stupid crap. Like he takes care of his woman. Like
I like him too, and I think a lot of people think he's douchey. But I'm like, I think he's just a dork. And that's okay with dorks. Like he doesn't seem to be a douchebag. With that whole like. What is it? The thing people always rag him for. It's Broncos country, let's ride, or whatever thing he said. I mean, that was dumb. I get it. But he seems to be a good dude. And they did him dirty. I mean, that Broncos organization is a dumpster fire with the whole
Sean
Payton
thing.
Okay,
but he's
still
going to be making a ton of money. The Broncos still have to pay him.
I know.
Like $38 million,
yeah.
No, they got to pay him. I thought they have to pay him $85
million. But they're paying him is it 35, 38 this next year?
Right.
While he's with the Steelers. So I'm like, he's still making like, I mean, I'm not going to cry if someone's going to pay me $38 million to go to a different team.
Absolutely not. Especially if my wife is Sierra. I mean, I would be like, look at these beautiful kids, my beautiful wife. Like, they seem to like love each other. His wife is all right.
I'm surprised.
But the one thing I have to say about him, at the Super Bowl, he was sitting in the Kardashian suite. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with this?
It wasn't theirs. That was the Michael Rubin suite, I think. And he just invited famous people. So he probably sat there because that's where he was offered to sit, is what I would guess.
All right.
But also, his wife is a famous singer. So I don't know if she was with him or not. I didn't see
that. She was there. Yeah.
She was? Well, that makes sense. Because, I mean, she's, you know, like a pop R&B singer or whatever. So it kind of makes sense.
Still don't know who she is, but okay. I'm going to take it. We had this discussion before.
I know. And I was like, what?
Back in the day, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, one step,
but
two steps.
I am curious to see like what happens there with him. So yeah, I was gonna text. I was gonna text her too, Annabelle, and be like, "Hey, like, congrats on your quarterback."
I know. I was like, I said, "Are we excited to see Danger Russ throw into George Pickens?" Like
Danger Russ.
That's his like name or something.
I love that. Social media. I never. That's funny.
It'll be interesting.
She didn't say anything.
No. And it was last night. So I'm like, all right, well, fine. I mean, she probably will eventually. She was probably busy or something.
You know how she gets. She gets very upset about Steelers.
I know. So that's passionate. Why I think she might be really upset, because there are people that hate Russell Wilson. But I mean, Kenny Pickett was, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's not like they were doing anything crazy. Why exactly. Would you not they weren't. Like some different, fresh thing exactly. happening to try and change it up a little bit.
Exactly. And I mean, Russell can be a good quarterback, and he wasn't even bad last year. They just didn't want to pay him, so they benched him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that, I think that was.
What do y'all think about, so, you know, sometimes when people get traded, when they have like a year or two left on their contracts, people do extensions right away, and sometimes mm-hmm. they don't, right? Like the Padres with Juan Soto is a good example of someone who didn't. He didn't want one yet anyway, but you take them and you know you got them for a year or two max, and they might leave. But then some, like with Russ, they gave him a contract extension before he played a single snap. And so to me, I feel like when teams are doing these types of things, like, are you just setting yourself up for failure? I mean, like when the Rams got Matthew Stafford, he didn't get an extension right away. He came in and he had, I don't know, 1 to 2 years left on his contract, won a Super Bowl. Then he got an extension. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It seems wild, especially, and I know teams do that. I don't know what's like the right way or the wrong way, but it seems like I feel like if it's me, I'm running a team, I want to see what you can do here first before I agree to give you. Like what I would do with a player is say, we want to keep you after this. We want to extend you halfway, you know, we're going to get it done or something. And that way they know and they're not stressed about it, but they're still playing. Because I know a lot of players don't like to have those negotiations going on during the season either. You know, they want to not have to worry about it. But
well, yeah. And also if you're a player, you're also going to be worried about like, what if I get injured?
Exactly. And you want that guaranteed money. And that was what that's what they took away from Russ by benching him, was that guarantee money, I think, right? Isn't that why they did it? It was a huge chunk of money they didn't have to pay him because they benched him.
But they're still having to pay him some money.
I mean,
exactly. Yeah. I'm like, don't give out absurd contracts if you're not sure this is going to work for you.
I don't know how old Russell Wilson is, but it just seems like a lot of these guys, and I get it, you're passionate, you want to keep playing, and it's like all you've been doing. But I do think that they kind of extend these contracts well into what I think is probably getting around the time, like
past their
you
prime.
Need to.
Absolutely.
You need to move on to being a commentator or whatever they, you know, go on to do. But yeah, I think that's part of the problem.
I think that's why a lot of guys, like with Matthew Stafford, his wasn't a 7-year extension. It was like, I don't remember exactly what it was. It was like reasonable for his age, where most people, I think, looked at him and thought, he'll probably play a couple more years. You know what I mean? Nobody's thinking like, and baseball does this more than football, I feel like. They're extending people for 20 years or something crazy like that. So dude's going to be like 57 and still getting paid. But, you know,
it's a retirement.
Exactly. So it's, I don't know. I think I would struggle to give an older guy. And a lot of guys, it's been interesting what happens with Kirk Cousins. There's a lot of older guys.
I was going to ask, that was going to be my next comment, is that what's going to happen with him, right? Because he comes up, his contract's up too this year.
He's a free agent. And I mean, Kirk hasn't, I don't think, in my opinion, Kirk hasn't fallen off. I mean, he got hurt last year. But he's still really good. There's plenty of teams that he would be the best person on the team if they sign. I mean, as best quarterback, if they added him to their team. So that'll be interesting. I'm surprised the Vikings didn't just want to keep him, honestly. But I think it's probably a money thing.
Probably. He's
wants
too
more expensive.
Money. Yeah. So have you guys, talking about football, have you guys seen on Apple TV, they have the Dynasty series right now about the Patriots? So like, it starts off when Tom Brady comes on as a rookie in 2001.
I didn't even know about that, I don't think.
Oh my God, it is so good. So I've been watching it with one of my sons. Like, we watch it. I think we're like four, maybe five episodes in. And then there's a couple, like, I think we still have like another five left. Or maybe it's only eight. But it's like a docuseries. And it's really, really good. I mean, it goes over like...
Is it like Patriots glazing, or is it like actually interesting?
It's very interesting. I mean, it goes in and it talks about like a lot of the insideness of like what goes on. Like, well, what they talked about, Deflategate. And then like everything that was around that. And then, because some of these things I don't even remember because it's been so long, right?
Right.
Or the Aaron Hernandez, disaster when he was charged with murder. And
so that I did watch on Netflix. There is a whole... thing about Aaron, on his, that's very interesting as well.
I want to go back and watch that after, because it's been such a long time, and I'm like, oh God, that was like back in 2008, I think, but they knew he was like, he had a troubled past. I mean, he was getting away with things that like And then he knew about
like,
it.
Waiting to, what do they call it? Like a powder keg waiting to explode or something? Is that the saying?
Yeah. I thought there was also some stuff about like CTE. Was there not?
And that probably was true, right? Probably. I mean, there's a lot of that, but he had a hot temper to begin with, right? And he was problematic, like coming on, like they took him out of high school and he was like, I think he was in Florida. He went to school in Florida. And he had problems when he was down there too. So maybe he had early like CTE as like, or maybe he was just kind of an a-hole to begin with, just
about,
in general.
Think about the personality type that it takes to be someone that wants to be violent as a job. So I think for some guys, it's a great way to get out their aggression and they enjoy it and they're completely calm in their daily life. And others just aren't. It's like not a switch you can just flip off, right? Like you see Aaron Donald, he's going to go choke somebody on the field and bro looks mad. But outside he's just like all nice and loving on his kids and his wife, like he's not, it's a different personality, but I think some people that's just who they are, and so it's harder for them to control themselves, and then add on of course all the concussions over time, and that's a lot worse. There's definitely plenty of problem children in the NFL who have been in trouble for violent things.
Interest, going back to your point, like the CTE, it probably like takes whatever personality they have and just
like
magnifies it. So it probably just takes this personality of being like kind of a violent person and just makes them even more violent over time.
I mean it's got to be something going on up here, because why would you take like getting to do something that so many people would love to do for a career, like getting to play football, being like well known by people all over the world, to screwing up your life and going to jail? And then I think
because he's always been bailed out. And they kind of talk about that too, right? Where the NFL has like basically fix it lawyers that come in and fix everything for you.
And you also just don't, you don't have good control over your temper. I mean, that's the problem is you don't have self-control. And some people, I think, I don't want to say they can't do it, but it's just different than you or I. Like I can want to bash somebody's skull in, but I'm going to be like, okay, I'm not going to do it. Right. And some people don't, they just don't, they just do it. And then they're like, oh, what did I do?
Probably should have done it.
Should not have done that one.
But I highly recommend you guys watching it, because we should watch it and then we can talk about it, because it's really good. I mean, even there's things about Tom Brady I had no idea about, like just, and there's things, I mean, they have Belichick on there and he's just like, they're interviewing him and sometimes he's just like, can't talk about that, you know, like
so normal Bill Belichick.
Well, yeah, but then also I don't remember this, but back like in the early 2000s, he got in trouble for recording the other team, the Jets, and recording their plays so they could do the play calls. And so that was a huge thing too. So they're like, you've already got in trouble for it. You kind of got like a slap on the hand for that. And now you're doing the whole like deflate ball. You know, it's like, what else are you doing that we don't know about? So it's interesting. Or they talk about like there's I think it was the first or second Super Bowl that Tom Brady was in, and they're playing and they're interviewing the other coach, and he's like, yeah, he's like, during the Super Bowl, he's like, they do a lot of holdings, like you can hold because like, they won't call you, we know the refs aren't going to call a lot on holds, but because it's a Super Bowl, but because what the coaches will do is that they'll let them hold, or they'll tell them like, go ahead and hold these guys until they're told not to do it. And then they'll back off and they'll go back and do it again. So it's just like this whole, it's this whole like, you know, game they're just playing with each other out there. I mean, things like that where I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. But to hear it from somebody else, it's kind of, it's entertaining.
Yeah. I think that'll be good.
Yeah. You guys should watch it. It's pretty good. It's a lot of inside things about like how Tom Brady was treated as a rookie, like how they punked him out and, you know, they threw dye in his shoes because,
you're like a rookie. Everybody should get punked out a little. It's good for you.
Yeah.
I had some of our teammates for water polo have older brothers in college that play. And I was hearing some of the hazing stories yesterday and I was just like interested, but also horrified. And I'm like, God, I don't want that to happen to my kid, but you know, probably will.
So it turns him into a man. Yeah. Turns him into a man. In fact, I'm like, my kids are going to start working coming this Sunday at a horse ranch.
Really?
Yep. They're going to start like learning how to fix fences, learning how to like fix electrical fences, learning how to like take hay bales and stack them and all that stuff. They're going to, turn them into little men.
How do they have a line? Because we don't have, and I'm trying to remember how, because I always had a job starting when I was 15. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how are my kids ever going to work? They're so busy with school and
sports. They can work on Sundays right now.
We have tournaments pretty much every weekend for most of the
year. So we don't have it. We only have Sundays open, and it's a family horse ranch. So there, she's letting them do it, and she's
that's great.
She's going to teach them how to do all this stuff. Weedy. And I'm like, perfect. Get out there. Yeah. Learn how to do some stuff. And then the summer they're gonna work like probably 2 days or something. They'll work, you know, early in the morning for a couple hours. So they need to make some money. They want things they get to make. They're expensive. Kids are expensive.
I know. And I'm like, God, I don't want them to be like never have to work for anything, but I do. Like, we're trying to find time just to fit in like the community service activities they need to be doing in order to, you know, for the college applications.
Yeah.
Much less a job. I'm like, God, broke kids.
I know.
Nothing.
Broke kids.
But if the activities will send them to college for free, then it's like worth it that they're doing them. But
oh, totally. Yeah.
You know, it just feels like I had to work for literally everything. I don't know how I did it. And I played sports too, but I wasn't in club sports. I think club sports are different.
Club sports is more year round, but I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted them to work like since they turn like 16, you want gas money, yeah. You want to go do things, you got to get a job. But now I'm like with sports, I'm like, that's hard, right? Cause it's like, with you, Annabelle, where do you have time to work?
Right.
This way it's like maybe one day a week or something.
Their dad and I talk, we sort of feel like if they're playing sports and getting great grades, then we're okay with them not trying to have a job. But if the grades suffer, they have to do less sports, first of all.
Yeah.
And if they're not serious about the sports, then they can just get a job instead, is sort of what we were thinking. Because it's not, I don't want them to be so overscheduled that they're so exhausted that they're having nervous breakdowns like kids are doing these days. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right thing to do is.
I hear you. All right, guys.
I don't know.
I think that kind of wraps up for this episode of Irrational Moms. Yeah. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, and you can Google us at irrationalmoms.com. So don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a fun question. Safe for work, though. Oh, and watch our YouTube live. Right? Yeah, it was fun.
That was pretty fun.
We need to plan another good snack.
Yeah. Tris had lots of good, she had a yummy snack.
I had that ice cream nachos, man. Those sprinkles were.
I want to try those, Tris, those things I sent you where it's like you put a piece of fruit on a skewer, then you dip it in pancake batter or waffle batter, then you put it in the waffle iron, and it basically makes a waffle around your slice of fruit, like a little tiny one. Yeah. I'm like, those will be so cute. I want to do those.
Little strawberry ones in there, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. I tried that one time with a chicken tender. I was like, let me see if I can make, if I can do chicken and waffles, but like make it.
Make the waffle around the chicken?
Yeah. So I like,
but. Did it work?
You know what? It's probably just better on top, but.
Well, because the tender is probably too fat and round to close nicely in the waffle iron to make waffle around it, right?
Yeah. It was a fun idea, but. You know,
it was like a waffle pig in the blanket.
What if you just bread the chicken with waffle batter instead of fried chicken batter? I don't know. I don't like chicken and waffles, so I'm just saying random stuff.
Oh my gosh, you're crazy! Chicken and waffles, so good.
Yep.
Okay, we'll be back with more snacks.